Our text for this morning, from Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we look at this portion of the Christmas story again this morning, we ask that you would fill us with a sense of mystery and awe that you have loved us so much to send your Son. Amen. They have said that when it comes to real estate, the most important thing is location, location, location. That's the end of my talking about real estate. But I was thinking about Christmas, and that perhaps the most important thing about Christmas is kids. Kids and a kid. Of course, as we enter the Christmas season, we begin to see the signs that we're supposed to be drooling over the right gift for our kids and the kids around us. I find it interesting that advertisements in the last couple of years, maybe it's just because I've reached that point, but they advertise to the grandparents the gifts that you ought to be getting your kid, your grandkids. And Christmas is about the kids around us. And that's why we have things like Toys for Tots or the Salvation Army gift gathering or Angel Tree. Because we all have this idea that Christmas ought to be a great time for kids. The kids ought to get something for Christmas. It ought to be something that excites them. And we often struggle with the idea that we ought to have a better Christmas every year. Which, by the way, if you're a new parent, it means start really, really, really small. You know, first year for Christmas, they ought to get one gift, and that ought to be less than $2. Next year, you can go to two gifts, and you can jump it up to $5 each. Because by the time they turn 35, there's no way you can make it a better Christmas. But we have this idea, kids ought to have a good Christmas. I mean, is there any Scrooge here that thinks that kids ought to have a bad Christmas? I'll put my hand down, because I don't want to be part of that group. We know that Christmas is about kids. And so we gather together and we give gifts to the children of people who are incarcerated because we know that there's no one there to take care of them and every kid deserves a nice Christmas. Who's going to argue with that? We've all bought into that concept. Maybe we bought into it because we've been advertised into it and we just feel sorry for those kids that are less fortunate than our kids and Christmas is about kids. It's about our own kids, our grandkids. It's about our great-grandkids. By the way, somebody this week told me that they had their ninth grandkid, and someone else told me that they had another grandkid this week through adoption. Isn't that cool? It's a great time to be thinking about that. Although, when you think about all those Christmas gifts you have to give over the next 20 years, because it's about kids, right? We want to make the kids happy. We want to go out of our way to make sure that all the kids around us don't go hungry at Christmas. They don't go giftless at Christmas. And we'll sacrifice a lot for the sake of a kid. Heard a story about a person who had their son's coat stolen at school. And so the father went into school, just really irritated, and he saw the kid who was wearing his son's coat. And he ran over to catch up to the kid, and he turned around, and he didn't have any shoes. And he said, "You know what? I'll just give you that jacket, and I'm going to buy you some shoes." I was told that is a true story, but I didn't confirm it, and it makes a really good story anyway. So, on Christmas, It's about kids. That's why we get inundated with all those advertisements. You know, it's about the kids around us. And that's good. I don't want to suggest that we change that, because I think that Christmas ought to be about getting the kids the Christmas message. And part of the Christmas message is gift giving and gift receiving. But it's not just about the kids around us. Christmas also happens to be about the kid within us. You know, I'm beyond getting matchbox cars. And interestingly, for me, in my childhood, the best Christmas I can remember is the Christmas that my brother gave me a matchbox car. It's actually, from my childhood, the only Christmas gift that I remember. It's pretty powerful. I love Christmas. And I think about Christmas and what it means to me. And I think about the traditions that happened in my family. And most of us do also when we come to celebrate Christmas. And we actually, in some ways, end up having a blue Christmas because of that very thing. Because we think back upon what Christmas is supposed to be like. And when we say what it's supposed to be like, what we generally mean is what it was like when we were a kid. We want that Norman Rockwell Christmas. Whatever our Norman Rockwell Christmas was. And so, for me, a part of Christmas that I grew up with was that my family always had plum pudding at Christmas. That's disgusting. I know some of you like plum pudding. Some of you like broccoli, too. Some things are just inexplainable. You know, and by the way, I use broccoli. I actually eat broccoli. So lest you think that, you know, I can't stand broccoli, I do eat it. It's not that bad. It's just not on the top 150 vegetables I would choose. My family used to have plum pudding. Have you ever seen plum pudding made? First you take this big lump of lard, and you melt it down, and you throw all kinds of other junk in there, you know, and then it coagulates. And then it's kind of like fruitcake, a little softer. And my family had plum pudding every single Christmas. It was one of my mom's great Christmas traditions, and it was one which I thankfully did not bring into my kids' home. I had pumpkin pie. They'd have plum pudding, and then as a consolation prize, I'd get pumpkin pie. I'll take the consolation prize. But having said that, Christmas is about the kid in me. And Christmas without pumpkin pie is somehow missing something. It's less than it ought to be. It's like that video of a blue Christmas. There are a whole section where you think, isn't there something else going to happen here? We can fit something in there, can't we? And a lot of us suffer from a blue Christmas because we're missing something. Something that we thought of as magical in our background that was a part of celebrating Christmas. Something that spoke to us powerfully. It's why when we do our Christmas Eve service, because I happen to be the pastor and I plan that service, we always read the Christmas story. Because part of what, for me, celebrating Christmas is about is actually reading the Christmas story. And it's why we sing traditional Christmas hymns. It's why for many years we have sung I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, because that's been my favorite Christmas carol from back when I was a little kid. You see, Christmas is about the kid in me. It's about the kid in you. And even though you're well beyond the age of getting excited because you got a McDonald's gift certificate, there's still something about Christmas where on Christmas morning, you just like to be able to know you are recognized and someone thought about you. Someone cared for you. Because Christmas is not just about the kids, it's about the kid in us. Not just the kids around us, but the kid in us. And that's why we look with eager anticipation as our kids and our grandkids open gifts. Because we relive some of that emotion. We relive some of that excitement. We love that concept that Christmas is about the kids around us and the kids within us. But really, none of that matters without the kid who came for us. Because Christmas ultimately is about the kid who came for us. And it's interesting, in all the time I've preached for Christmas messages and gone to Christmas services, and I actually don't remember anybody ever talking about the kid, Jesus as the kid, but he was. And the significant part of Christmas is that a child was born who is Christ the Lord. That the one who would have the government upon his shoulders, who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Eternal Father, that He came at Christmas. The significant part of Christmas, the part which matters more than anything else, is the kid who came for us. For that first Christmas was a bittersweet Christmas for Jesus. A bittersweet Christmas for His Father. I know that this is not theologically pure, but God the Father spent the first Christmas without His Son. Now, I know He was there. I'm not trying for doctrinal purity. I'm talking, look at the emotion of that. That on that Christmas day, on that first birthday of Christ, on the birthday of Christ, God the Father gave up His child, the kid of Christmas, for us. And the message of Christmas ultimately has to revolve around the fact that Christ was born on Christmas. It used to be that in our school districts we'd have Christmas programs. Now we call them holiday programs, and we have a tendency not to say Merry Christmas. Instead we say Happy Holidays, lest we offend anybody. But this holiday is a holiday about the birth of Christ. And whereas the schools used to have Christmas programs where they'd, in a school, can you believe it, they would have a manger and they'd have wise men and they'd have, well, I'm not sure there's that many wise people, but they'd have shepherds and they'd have little sheep, and some people got to play Mary and Joseph, and there was a little doll, baby, representing Jesus. And it taught us as a society the significance of Christmas, that it is actually a day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. He is the kid of Christmas. As much as our society wants us to focus upon the kids around us and the kid within us, it is that kid laid in the manger that makes Christmas important. For it is at Christmas time that God reaches across the universe and he plucks Himself into the middle of human history. And it is at Christmas time that God begins that miraculous and dramatic narrative of His love for us played out on a regular basis. For the kid of Christmas is the embodiment of the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, shown to us in Jesus Christ, where God said to you, I love you. And where the shepherds came to give gifts when God was giving the best gift of all. When God had already set the stage of giving this incredible gift of the possibility of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because at Christmas, God reached out and He said, it doesn't really matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how good you've been, how bad you've been. It doesn't matter if you've been appreciative of the gifts I've given you in the past. It doesn't matter if you even recognize how important this gift. I give you my Son. And if you have faith in Him, you will receive eternal life. That kid of Christmas, that is the most significant part about Christmas. So when the angels came to the shepherds and said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, a Savior, Christ the Lord. As a child, as an infant, He laid there in a manger knowing He was the Savior of the world. And that all of human history ultimately has to point back to this one event. Yes, the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ is the culmination, but the beginning of that event really began in Genesis 3:15, but came into being at Christmas morning. And so when you celebrate Christmas this year, my encouragement, focus on the kids around you. Give the kids around you as much of a good Christmas as you can give them, but I don't think it's a particularly good idea to go into debt and to make it so you're paying for Christmas, you know, in June. You know, be reasonable. And by the way, if you are really struggling and you need help at Christmas, let me know. We take a benevolence offering and we can help you out. You know, don't let your kids, the kids around you, go without some symbol of God's love, a gift, because you are going through a difficult time. We'll help you out with that. Focus a little bit on the kids around you. Focus on the kid within you. By all means, I think you ought to sing the Christmas carols. By all means, I think you ought to do some of the things that you've done traditionally, as long as you're good and healthy and non-sinful. If drunkenness is part of your Christmas celebration, that's when you ought to change. Just saying. Celebrate Christmas with the kid within you. But never forget the kid who came for you. It is so easy in celebration of Christmas to get so wrapped up in the kids around us and the kid within us that we forget the kid who came for us. I have a suggestion for a little experiment for you. It doesn't matter where you are in your Christmas shopping. I suggest you go to one of the Walmarts. And I suggest Walmart because I've been there and I know what it's like there. And go into the toy department. You don't have to be shopping for any toys. Go shopping for a smile. Now, I think what you'll find is that there's not that many of them. People are so bought in to Christmas for the kid or kids around us that they're focused. And you know, I was there the other day, and I'm sure that 5 or 6 times people ran into me. They're looking around, smashing their carts into me. You know, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and they're afraid I'm going to get really angry at them. And I said, "No problem, Merry Christmas." And I smiled and went. It was like somebody said Merry Christmas. Whoa! I watch people, so I'd walk on and I'd look back and see what they were doing. And these people who had this scowl on their face suddenly smiled because somebody said Merry Christmas. They didn't say, "Make sure you get the gift you want." Well, they're not going to like that. You know, for Christmas, remember Jesus and share Jesus. And in your celebration of Christmas, whoever you are with, just a kind, small word. Said Christmas is not just a holiday. And when someone says to you, "Happy Holidays," you can respond, "Happy Holidays." You can respond, "Merry Christmas." You can respond and say, "Thank you. I will have a happy holiday because the celebration of my Savior's birth is a high point of my life." See, Christmas is about kids. The kids around you, the kids within you, but mostly about the kid who came for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us to balance our approach to Christmas as we seek to give the kids around us a good Christmas experience, as we long for and seek to reconstruct what we, the kid within us, thinks of as a good Christmas. Help us to balance those two significant and important parts of Christmas with ultimately the real reason that we have this holiday, that Jesus Christ was born, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Help us in this Christmas season to welcome and to recognize the Prince of Peace in our lives. Amen. Now, celebrate. Celebrate with the children around you, the child within you, and the child Jesus. Amen.